Chris Bowen, welcome to RN Drive.
Good to be with you, Patricia. Good evening.
So it emerges that the Greens have dropped the no-confidence motion against Peter Dutton for misleading the Parliament over his granting of visas for two foreign au pairs. Labor was prepared to support it. Does this mean you'll go it alone on this?
Oh, well, look, my understanding is the Greens have indicated they would rather that motion be considered after the Senate inquiry into the whole affair. Now, that was the last update I had, so that wouldn't come on this week. It would come on at a different time, but that's really a matter for them. They're the ones who proposed the no-confidence motion. And obviously, we lack confidence in the government in its entirety, so we'll continue to ask questions and take appropriate stances on the matter, but the status of the Greens motion is a matter for the Greens.
Labor spent much of today pointing out that the ministers had declared support for Malcolm Turnbull and then not backed him for the leadership, but we already knew that. What was the point of the exercise beyond embarrassing the government?
Well, a couple of points, I think, Patricia. Firstly, what you say in Parliament matters. And when you're a minister, you're actually meant to resign for misleading Parliament. So it's a serious matter. And very clearly, these guys were misleading. I mean, they were already talking to Peter Dutton and offering him their support when they were standing in the dispatch box and declaring undying loyalty for Malcolm Turnbull. So that's point one. And point two, when they're prepared to do that about one thing, how do they have any credibility on anything else ever? When they're attacking Labor policy, when they're making assertions at the dispatch box, those assertions that they were with Malcolm Turnbull and they had given assurances of loyalty. Remember, I mean, on the Tuesday, they got up and said, we are providing Malcolm Turnbull with assurances of loyalty. And at the end of the week, we're voting against him. I mean, how do these guys have any credibility on anything at any point?
The opposition says his legal advice that Peter Dutton is ineligible to sit in Parliament under Section 44 of the Constitution because of Commonwealth payments to childcare centre he owns. Have any of the crossbenchers agreed to support your no-confidence motion?
Well, I haven't had any discussions with crossbenchers, but I'm not handling that matter. Their defence is that they have legal advice that he's okay. It's pretty obviously the case that so did Barnaby Joyce, and look how that ended. He had Solicitor General's advice. Peter Dutton has Solicitor General's advice. I've got to say, with due respect to the Solicitor General, not very strong advice, heavily couched advice, and that advice makes clear that only the High Court can ultimately determine the matter. So I think it's fair to say that his advice is weaker than the advice that Barnaby Joyce had, and of course the High Court decided to disagree with the Solicitor General. So very clearly this should go to the High Court. The best way for that to happen would be for Peter Dutton to do what Barnaby Joyce did and refer himself.
If the current numbers don't change, then you can't actually refer Peter Dutton to the High Court. So what's the strategy then?
Well, we'll continue to pursue the case. I mean, we think he should be...
So it just continues to be disruption and theatre, right?
Well, no. I mean, it's a serious matter referring somebody to the High Court. Now, it would be best done, I think everybody would agree, it's best done on a non-partisan basis by self-referral. I mean, we've always said that. But obviously where Peter Dutton is point blank refusing to do so, and his vote, here's the great irony, Patricia, his vote is the one vote last time which avoided him being referred. So he voted against his own referral, and that motion was carried by one vote to avoid referral to the High Court. So he's relying on his own questionable vote to keep himself out of the High Court. I mean, if he's got nothing to hide, if he's so confident of his position before the High Court, why wouldn't he agree to clear this matter up by sending himself to the High Court, as others have done, including Barnaby Joyce?
Media reports today have highlighted that Labor allowed the nanny of soccer star Alessandro Del Piero into the country on a tourist visa. Now, you were Immigration Minister in one of these instances. She was a nanny. She was working, but given a tourist visa. How is that different to what Peter Dutton did?
Well, it's extraordinarily different, and it's a pretty desperate attempt by Peter Dutton to change the conversation. The big difference is, of course, that I did not exercise any ministerial power or intervention. This was approved by the department, just as hundreds of thousands of other visa applications are approved by the department every year. My powers were not invoked in this instance. I didn't know this individual. In fact, I confess to you, Patricia, I'm not a big football person, not a big soccer fan, so I didn't know who he was. I did not intervene to see that visa approved. The department approved it in the normal way. Very different, okay. Very different to the Peter Dutton au pair cases.
But we are seeing now these leaks or these cases being shared in the media of, you know, Times Labor actor. Doesn't it show that this is just a murky space? This ministerial intervention.
Patricia, but there's no ministerial intervention. I mean, the two cases today, Patricia, with respect, one was this soccer player's nanny, which was approved by the department with no intervention by me, and the other one was when Tony Burke was minister, and he didn't exercise his power either. I mean, we both had powers to approve these visas. In both these instances, we did not. I mean, you couldn't get a starker difference with the Peter Dutton affair. Now, the ministerial intervention is an important ministerial power. It's there for cases which are compelling. And you and I know the sorts of cases which it's often used for. I mean, sometimes they come up in the media. A doctor working in a regional area, for example, who the community loves and nobody else will provide that service, but they haven't met every single element of the Migration Act. And it's common sense that they should be allowed to stay. That's where ministers intervene regularly. And, of course, ministers are right to intervene. That's an important power. And members of parliament are right to raise those cases with ministers. When I was Minister for Immigration, I had Liberal MPs and Labor MPs ask me to intervene. I would always weigh it up carefully, look at the Department of Advice. It would go through a process. And if it was compelling and common sense, then I would intervene. If it wasn't, then I would not. And at no point did I ever intervene at an airport, for example, against departmental advice. At no point during my 3 years as minister. The only occasion I ever had to get involved in an airport decision was when Sir Viv Richards came to Australia and forgot to arrange his visa. And the department agreed that it was appropriate that he be let in. So this is very, very different. I understand that Peter's, you know, casting around, trying to throw a bit of mud to change the conversation. I don't particularly blame him for that in the circumstances. But to compare two cases, both of which involved no ministerial intervention whatsoever, with a case of an au pair where he did intervene, strikes me, frankly, as pretty ridiculous.
On another issue, we saw at the weekend a huge swing away from the Liberal Party in a by-election in the New South Wales state seat of Wagga Wagga, or as people always say to me, if you're a real person, you just call it Wagga. But Labor's primary vote remained much the same, and an independent is now likely to win. What do you make of that? What are the lessons here?
Well, I mean, it's very tough territory for the Labor Party. I mean, Eddie Graham was the last Labor member for Wagga, and that was many, many decades ago, six decades ago. Obviously, we ran a great campaign with a good candidate, but it's always going to be tough territory for the Labor Party, no question about that. It is highly conservative ground. But the fact that such highly conservative ground swung so deliberately and clearly away from the government, away from the Liberal Party, I think should give the Liberal Party pause for concern, both at the state and federal level.
If you're just tuning in, Chris Bowen, the Shadow Treasurer, is my guest. 0418 226 576 is our text line. No doubt you've seen the latest news poll. It has Labor easily winning a federal election. But really interestingly, Scott Morrison is already ahead of Bill Shorten as preferred Prime Minister. Now, given Bill Shorten has been opposition leader for 5 years, does that concern you?
No, and I'll just say, Patricia, I pay the preferred Prime Minister poll very, very little attention. Of course, we're all meant to say we all don't read any of the polls, and of course that's not true. Of course we look at the polls. They're not a determinant of your action, but of course we're political operatives. Of course we watch the polls. But I think the two-party preferred result is the much more important indicator. It is very rare for a leader of the opposition to be ahead on the preferred Prime Minister ranking. Many leaders of the opposition have won elections as not as the preferred Prime Minister. And as soon as they become Prime Minister, magically they become the preferred Prime Minister. It's the pattern of history. So I don't give that any credence whatsoever.
Okay, so there are no lessons from it because he's only been Prime Minister for 2 weeks and he's shot ahead.
I just think generally the preferred Prime Minister ranking is a pretty irrelevant one to the results of elections.
You've just returned from a trip to China, meeting academics and participating in a roundtable on China's international outlook. What did you learn?
Look, it was a very interesting trip. I undertook it with Julian Lisa, the Liberal member for Barara, and China Matters, a public policy initiative designed to focus public policy makers on the matter of China, its place in the world, its relationship with Australia. So it was an important trip. It was a bit different to the normal trips to China in that it wasn't official and that we didn't do too many meetings with government officials and did more with think tanks, senior business people. Obviously, there was a strong discussion about the current trade wars or worsening trade war with the United States, about China's role in the region, a lot of interest in Australia's perspective. Those discussions were very useful as we prepare for the possibility of government. Obviously, it's a very important bilateral relationship, which any government needs to focus on. And it's an important one for an incoming government to be concerned about.
What do you make of this blocking of the ABC website in China? Is it a retaliatory measure for the Huawei decision? How do you read it?
You know, people can make that conclusion. It's not something which came up too often in our discussions. Obviously, more internet access is better and access to international news sites and respected ones like the ABC is much preferred. You can make the conclusion about Huawei, but that's not something that we particularly came up in our discussions in terms of that particular link.
And you know that there are concerns about China's territorial expansion in the South China Sea and its buying of influence in the Pacific. How were those moves explained to you in these discussions? Do you see a cause for concern here?
Well, this is always going to be a bilateral relationship where there are differences and disagreements. Absolutely. And our position as the opposition on the South China Sea is the same as the government's. But we do make the point that there are ways of communicating this. And I think part of the reason that the bilateral relationship has been in such poor shape is that it has been dragged through the domestic political debate, frankly, by the current government, trying to score political points on an important bilateral relationship. I think that's unfortunate. I think you can have strong discussions with countries like China. You can put your point of view appropriately and strongly, but actually dragging an important bilateral debate through the domestic political debate, the important bilateral relationship, through the domestic political debate means it is very hard to get the relevant levels of nuance, of respect, of understanding into that discussion. And I think that's where the bilateral relationship has, in many senses, suffered over recent months.
Chris Bowen, thank you so much for your time.
Good on you, Patricia. It's always nice to chat.
Chris Bowen is the Shadow Treasurer, and this is RN Drive 0418 226 576 is our text line.